Hey everybody, it's Mary Lou Tyler, and today's guest is someone you're going to really want to listen to. So grab your coffee or whatever you're doing right now and make sure that you're leaning into this podcast. My guest today is Kurt Shaver. He is by far one of the best known and I think very smart people in the area of leveraging social selling. Meaning, is it strictly LinkedIn or are you in other things now, Kurt?
It's mostly LinkedIn. We can talk about a couple other things, but mostly LinkedIn.
Mostly LinkedIn. So I asked Kurt on the show today because many of you know our roles as business developers are changing. Some of you are now known more as account-based selling folks, where you're targeting a core number of accounts or an anchor. I have clients that call them anchor accounts. Some of you are still using the more traditional methods described in predictable revenue of selling. But all of us are concerned about whether we get a lead from marketing or some other channel of getting that first conversation or follow-up conversation under our belt so that we can move our prospects to a qualified opportunity. Now, Kurt, his area specializes in that very thing. So that's why I asked him to join us today. So welcome to the show.
Great, Mary Lou. I am looking forward to our talk.
Yes. So tell me, I think I last contacted you, it was a couple of years ago when I was struggling myself trying to figure out how to leverage LinkedIn. So can you give us an idea of what has changed in the last couple of years? And where you see this all going with respect to starting conversations with people, top of funnel, the right decision makers at the right time, leveraging LinkedIn?
Sure. Well, LinkedIn's, 13 and a half years old now. So LinkedIn is a teenager. So it doesn't exactly feel like it's some new thing anymore.
Right.
And, I think if sales leaders or salespeople or marketing executives needed any more convincing that this whole social selling technique was not just a fad, I think you only have to look back a couple of months to the world's biggest software company plunking down $26.2 billion when Microsoft announced it was buying LinkedIn. So, that's a real handwriting on the wall kind of phenomena that it's the social networking is just going to be stitched into every aspect of software and really every aspect of business. So, I think the 90s were really the ushering in of the internet, and the aughts was when kind of everything became web enabled, right? Mm-hmm. But the since then, social networking as a subset technology of internet is just been huge in the actual interaction. And that basically comes down to communication, which is what drives people and brings us back to our discussion of, lead generation, top of the funnel, connecting with decision makers, right? All of those things play perfectly into social networking.
Okay. So, where I'm coming from with our troops over here, we're process oriented people trying to figure out how to leverage this as one of the key process elements. Can we think of LinkedIn as part of our process? Is it something that we manually do? What is it or how has it evolved to the point where we can leverage it as a piece of technology?
Yeah, so there's a couple elements to that, and I think it'd be helpful for everybody to kind of start it this way. So I always say the primary function of LinkedIn, primary value, really is lead generation. It's starting that. I mean, it'll help in other areas as you move along the sales cycle, but its main value is getting the sales cycle started, top of funnel. So. And in doing that, there's basically two activities. It really all break down into two activities. Okay. So there's outbound prospecting, which salespeople are all very used to. So outbound prospecting is essentially just looking at LinkedIn like a database of, a fresh database of 450 million business professionals and being able to slice that and dice it based on your ideal customer profile, the same way you would any database, with the huge differential advantage that you get to lay your own individual network on top of that database to find out where there's common connections, right? Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, as if 450 names wasn't big enough, and if the fact that this is all fresh and updated because every member maintains their own profile, as if that wasn't big enough, you also get to overlay your own network on it. So from an outbound prospecting, you know, Rolodex, network, CRM, referral, introduction, all those things that salespeople are used to, you know, it's unparalleled. Okay, so that's number one is outbound prospecting. Mm-hmm. The second activity, though, which is newer for certainly salespeople, is inbound marketing. Now, inbound marketing has become a very popular method over the last, 5 to 8 years as people just turn to the internet to find more information, and marketers realize, oh, we need to put information out there so that we can become positioned as thought leaders and subject matter expertise. And they come to our website and our webinars and get our eBooks and all these things. So what's changed in the social selling realm, where I focus very much on the salespeople side, is that, again, because everybody has a social network, essentially each person is a mini marketer of one. Each salesperson becomes a mini marketer of one. So individually, they can all take advantage of this inbound marketing idea by sharing content and posting it, engaging it, and again, attracting customers to it. So it's essentially, the question was, how does this fit into the process? Well, there's really two processes, outbound prospecting, inbound marketing, both meant to fill the funnel. And the difference is that, you know, it's the salesperson doing it. It's not the marketing department doing it. It's the salesperson. And, you know, why is that important? Well, if you think, you know, take some company that's got 500 salespeople. Well, guess what? They probably have one website and they have one LinkedIn company page and they have one Twitter account. And maybe maybe they got a Facebook page or something like that. Okay. So that's like 4 or 5 properties that the company marketing department owns. But again, if you got 500 salespeople, that's 500 websites in and of itself and their LinkedIn profiles. If they have Twitter accounts for business, now we got 1,000 properties represented really under control of the sales team, as opposed to 4 compared to what marketing owns. And that's where the power of social selling comes in.
Okay. So let's take my immediate, when you said that the inbound marketing got my attention really fast. And that is because one of the things that I like to instill in the business developers I work with is a mindset that they are colleagues of their intended targets, whoever they're prospecting to, like the CEO, COO, whatever, CMO, that they are at that same level colleague-wise. So if I'm an SDR, what kind of inbound marketing things do you think starting out, because these folks are, you know, might be fresh out of college or just 1 to 2 years in sales total, how could they leverage an inbound marketing? What are some of the just things that they could do in order to be able to start building awareness around their expertise?
Sure. Well, there's a couple things that they can do. So the kind of simplest step would be to share some of their own company's content, like with their social networks. Okay. I mean, that's sort of like the table stakes, the easiest level. But you don't want to do that too much, or you basically just end up basically looking like, you know, you're parroting company information only. And what value are you adding at that point? Because they can just, the prospects or your connections could have just subscribed to the company blog. Mm-hmm. So you've got to mix in other types of content. Now, again, you're doing this very similar to like how a magazine editor thinks of their audience, right? So the magazine editor doesn't write the articles. The magazine editor just picks articles that they, because they know their audience interests, they decide, oh, you know, I'm going to read 50 things and 6 of them make the cut this month. Mm-hmm. So the salesperson, SDR, whatever role there is, They're certainly reading things about their industry, which are not coming from their company, right? They're looking at trade magazines or, you know, portals or, you know, the Mashable or CIO.com or, you know, whatever they happen to be reading. And they're reading stuff about their industry. So as they see things like, hey, this is news. Oh, this is a article my audience would be interested in, right? They can then share that with their social network. They have this content broadcast mechanism now at their disposal. And as they do that, the better that they become as a magazine editor or as a curator of that information, and they get dialed into the interest of their audience and they know what's valuable to them, they're raising their visibility and credibility such that, you know, when the need comes around in that prospect's company for a particular thing, they sort of jump top of mind. And that's where you're causing that idea of actually attracting customers to you because you're establishing your reputation by the content you're sharing.
Okay. So are there any other things that people can do to sort of get a toe in the water of inbound marketing? I like the idea of the becoming a broadcaster, a curator. What about, is that done through the update mechanism in LinkedIn that you're doing this, or you said there's a broadcast mechanism now available?
Yeah, so you can do a couple different things in LinkedIn, you know, in terms of specific actions. So so you can do an update, which an update could or could not have like a piece of content associated with it. So you could update and post the link of a blog URL and, you know, and write your own little comments along with it so that you're adding value above and beyond just the blog itself. You can also, you know, simply share content that could be done through Twitter. You can post it to groups. So if there's a group that you're involved with and you think, wow, this is really going to be a valuable information into the group, you could share it that way. So it's just slightly different because you're sending it into a targeted group of folks that are already rallied around some particular topic or title or industry or something like that. And then the other thing that you can do, which would still all fall under the engagement, social engagement umbrella, of course, is you can go in and react. So you don't have to be the initiator. You can go in and react to what somebody else has already started. So, you know, whether it's a shared post or somebody just started a thread about some topic in your industry, again, if you're going to jump into the conversation, just like in the real world, if you're at a networking conference or an industry trade show and people were gathered around the bar talking about this topic, same thing is going to happen on LinkedIn and on social networks where you can weigh in. If you have a valuable opinion, you're going to raise your visibility there. So that would just be commenting on something that somebody else started.
Okay. So that's it for inbound marketing in terms of just where I know we're just kind of scratching the surface here, but essentially getting started as an SDR or a business developer from an inbound perspective, it's sharing articles that are of value to your prospect personas. It's perhaps commenting on existing dialogue that's happening out there or putting up your own questions in a group if you're in a group.
Right.
Let's switch over to outbound. What are the most impactful? Now, I'm putting you on the spot here because I'm expecting you to know what the SDR does on a daily basis, but I think you know.
Yeah.
In your mind, what would be the most impactful tactical actions that an SDR can take from an outbound prospecting point of view?
So if it's an SDR and, you know, they're sort of fairly young and they probably don't have their big business network, then I would actually flip the advice of these actions that I usually would give to a more senior sales force. So if you're trying to trigger an initial connection with a prospect, right? So the first, you got to do two things. You got to find them and then you got to connect with them. Okay. So the finding them is understanding, in the case of LinkedIn, it's understanding the search and how it works and what are my filters and what, you know, how am I going to use some Boolean operators to whittle it down to, you know, just the ideal, absolute best target. So that's finding the people. So you end up with a search results, you know, much as you would in Google, except this time it's people on LinkedIn that fit your search and ideal customer personas. Okay, so you found them. Now the question is, how are you going to, what strategy are you going to use to reach out for them that's better than just cold, right? Mm-hmm. So usually what I say is the number one priority is to leverage a common connection, right? So again, if you can use either an introduction, which would require a proactive action on the part of the common connection, or whether you're just going to name drop, which is usually a little faster because you don't have to involve a third party. You know, that's usually the best way because there's that commonality piece of it. But again, that relies on you having a fairly strong network. I mean, the bigger the network, usually the more you've been in the industry, you're going to have a bigger network. And so those chances of having a common connection grow. If you're an SDR, you know, you might not have a big network, maybe not been in the industry. So then the technique you're probably going to want to use is research based. So you're going to be doing your social research. Now, social research can happen a couple different ways. It, on the simplest level, particularly if like you're using the free version of LinkedIn, that's just going to be a quick scan of that person's profile to see what you can pick up, right? How long have they been at work? Where have they worked before? Like, where did they go to school? What's their industry? Have they been posting stuff on LinkedIn, or do they have a Twitter account that they use for business that you can go in and read? It's kind of like mind reading, right? Like, what are their priorities? What are they talking about? What are they posting? So that's research driven. That you're going to have to pick up because you're going to try again. Your outreach. You're going to try to come up with something of relevance to them to initially grab their attention. Now, okay, so let's say you get to that point, you decide what it is, what research you found. Now you have a choice of, okay, what communication mechanism am I going to take, right? If you're on a premium version of LinkedIn, you can use its internal messaging system, which is called InMail. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're on a premium version of LinkedIn, your choices could be, I'm going to use LinkedIn's InMail system. I'm going to use regular old email if I know or can get this person's email. Right. Or I might pick up the telephone. Right. I found the person. I use LinkedIn. I mean, I always say, like, don't forget the telephone. The telephone is still extremely efficient, right? So you might find the person using LinkedIn, its awesome search features against 450 million business professionals. And you might research the person on LinkedIn, spend 30 seconds looking at their profile to get one or two nuggets that's going to help you in the report. But at that point, you might be done with LinkedIn and you might turn and pick up the phone, right? And call the person now knowing they fit your profile, knowing something about them, and weave that into, you know, kind of whatever your opening outreach would be.
Okay. So this is great. So listening to this, I'm immediately thinking of sales process. Just to fill you in, our goals with the day in the life of a business developer is usually we're trying to get 5 meaningful conversations a day, and we've allocated time blocks for that. What kind of time block are we talking about when we're engaging using LinkedIn and doing whatever, whether it be inbound marketing or outbound prospecting? Is there a best practice as to how much? I know you could spend 8 hours doing it, but what is the most meaningful amount of time where you're going to get the biggest bang for the buck? Is there such a thing that we can add to our daily rhythm for LinkedIn?
That's obviously going to depend a lot on like the sales role. Mm-hmm. Right. And really, how much prospecting are they doing? So in the case of an SDR, I would say it's going to be fairly high, right? I mean, if it's an SDR prospecting into a B2B customer base, then, you know, I would expect that they're probably in LinkedIn some way, shape or form, like at least an hour a day, you know, maybe more. If it's a field person and they've got a bunch of other stuff to do and they're running around, right, it might be 20 minutes a day and all done off of their mobile phone. So it just depends really on kind of the amount of pure prospecting activities that they're going to be doing.
Okay. Well, let me give you a hypothetical then. I'm sure you've heard in the industry now the buzzwords around personalization, meaning that when you're having an email or phone conversation with a potential buyer, a prospect, we're to do some research ahead of time to do what you just said before, to find out what their challenges are, to get an understanding of how they use language to describe their challenge, et cetera, et cetera. So let's pretend that we have a calling queue of 20 accounts that we're working on at any given time. We may want to research 10 of those in LinkedIn. And then from there, we're going to be able to have these conversations. So from a hyper-personalization point of view, doing 10 accounts a day, is that still that kind of hour time you think? Is that when you're thinking for the SDR? I'm just trying to get a feel for around time-wise because the day is already, their day is already filled with time blocks for phoning, time blocks for doing any type of discovery calls, from working on the calling list for the next day, et cetera, et cetera. So is an hour reasonable for 10 accounts, or do we need more than that, do you think?
I think that's reasonable. I guess the clarification I would make is that, but I don't see it being like it's 1 hour carved out from like 11 to noon to do LinkedIn stuff, and then you go back to your regular process. It's rather the situation that the LinkedIn steps that I would suggest are going to be like, 4 or 5 minutes of every of they're going to be in the process. It's going to be in the process, right? So the process is identification of the person. Well, LinkedIn can help with that, right? It's going to be research. Well, LinkedIn can help with that. So as they, it's going to be the social selling, and the LinkedIn is going to be woven into their normal process anyway, as opposed to it being this like carved off standalone time, because it all has to be integrated into this process that's ultimately going to end with a conversation, right?
What I like to do though with our folks is there is a habitual day in the life of an SDR, so to speak. And we do tend to do things in blocks. So, for example, if I am getting ready to call my 10 accounts, the night before, or in any dead time when calling is not a good time, any hours of the day where connects are horrible, I'm going to concentrate and pull my accounts for the next day so that when I go home, I've done what I need to do for the next business day. So when I come in at the best time to call, I'm calling, which means I'm tracking all the personalization ahead of time for that particular prospect. So my view is I would go into LinkedIn, I would map out my 10 accounts, I would look up all the information I need one after another during that dead time. And then the next day I would come in, and as part of my process, now I have all the personalization I need to get those emails out, to send voicemails, to do whatever I need. So that's how I see an SDR using LinkedIn from a process standpoint. But what you're saying too is that during the day, as they, if someone were to come inbound, for example, and they have to handle a call, or they get on a call and then they get referred to somebody else, that's the time to look up LinkedIn information on a real-time basis
Right,
in
yeah.
order to be able to get what they need. But I think that sometimes the SDRs, when we are multitasking in real time, they lose sight of their calling list and they don't get to the end. So we want to make sure that they do get to the end, which means rather than real time, we do our research in blocks as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I think the other thing that LinkedIn is good for from a research standpoint is finding other people that might be involved in that purchase decision, right? Because again, if they're depending on what list, it might be, hey, these are all the people that came to a webinar, or these are the people that got the email book, or sort of something like that, right? Well, we all know that the number of people that are involved in purchasing, buying committees, and purchasing decisions, right? That's growing in the B2B space. So, you know, one of the things that's great about LinkedIn is it really gives you that visibility either by searching or using that sidebar on the right-hand side that says people also viewed. It'll oftentimes show you. So if you're targeting the VP of IT, you know, it might show you also here's the CIO and here's the director of information security and here's the, you know, director of business applications and things like that. So it helps mm-hmm. you round out who is around that person on the org chart that you might not have otherwise known. And again, give you a couple different either more chances to get in the door to start a conversation with somebody else, or just get those other influences all on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, that's brilliant, because we map out as part of not all the clients that I work with, but there are some clients that do what I call an immersion program with their accounts, where they run a sequence of emails and they may follow up with a voicemail, but then they pick one or two days within that sequence of 22 to 25 business days where we're doing immersion calling. And that's where that right sidebar comes into play, because we're actually calling in and around the bullseye mm-hmm. of direct right. and indirect yep. influencers. So people, if you're listening to this, I mean, that right sidebar that Kurt's talking about is a great place when we're doing our research to do an immersion program of the people who are going to most likely influence your target. And that's really what we want, because as Kurt said, we want to get a foot in the door. We want to have that first conversation. We want to be invited in. So LinkedIn gives us a nice way to at least get an understanding of the org chart and of the roles people are playing, both up and down the actual reporting structure.
Yeah, I was just talking to a client about a little bit about this kind of idea. And, you know, they were saying what a lot of people think. It's like, oh, you know, I need to get to the C level. I don't want to look at all these other people. I need to get to the C level. I need to get to the C level. And mm-hmm. and I kind of had a couple observations on that. Number one, I said is, do you really need to get to the C level? I mean, a lot of times it depends on the size of your product offering and the size of the company. I mean, the bigger the company, the smaller I can talk to on the org chart to get them to sign off on what is a sensibly sales training, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm in a huge company, the manager can sign off on my budget. So I don't have to talk to the C-level in a huge company. But the other point is, not only might they have, you know, the authority, but a lot of times those people, like, hey, maybe they don't have the signing authority, but a lot of times they can tell you a lot of the information that you're going to need. You know, they're oftentimes much more open to share what's going on, right, the information that you may need to eventually get up to the whatever decision maker it is. So
definitely. And because we're disqualification machines in this top of funnel, is really our role, is to fast track the ones that we know are going to close with a higher probability and a high lifetime value. You know, we kind of want to be in that mindset of we're disqualifying as many people as possible so that we can get to working on all the meaty ones. Mm-hmm. So this is a way to understand what initiatives are in place, whether or not they've already started working on something, and where you fit in that timeline to see whether or not it's a good use of your time today to go after that, or to put it in long-term follow-up for some time later on down the road.
Yeah, that's good. I like that term, disqualification machines.
So Kirk, tell us, I'm taking a lot of your time here. Tell us what it is that you do in the world and how you help people understand this LinkedIn engine better.
Sure. Well, as it says on my LinkedIn profile, I help B2B sellers connect with more decision makers, right? So, I mean, gosh, it's just harder than ever to cut through the clutter, right, between voicemail and caller ID and overcrowded email inboxes and everything else, right? So it's like, well, how do you get a hold of people? And so social networks obviously is a newer channel, a way for mm-hmm. reaching people. And so if you know all the little tricks and ways to leverage it, then because they are spending time there, you can just use that as a communication channel to start that initial conversation. And then once you can get that initial conversation going, I usually recommend take it off the social network, right? And moving to your email, your telephone conversations and things like that. But it's just another way to reach people again, because they are spending time there, right? They're either researching things or they're communicating with their network, or they're using it to read up on the latest things. Mm-hmm. So I work with corporations to put this in into a systematic way. You'll like that, Mary Lou, right? Because it's unlike CRM. I mean, at least CRM, the company paid money for, and so they'll usually allocate some money for training, and they have standards and things like that, okay? Because the company bought the CRM system. That's not the case with LinkedIn. Everybody walks in the door with their free LinkedIn account. And so first off, everybody's doing something different, right? Totally random. And the sales leaders all think, oh, well, it's free. They've had it for like 5 years. Everyone must be an expert on it. So neither one of those is true. It's like you got all sorts of people using it all sorts of different ways. Some great, some not, don't use it at all. Some are using it incorrectly and damaging themselves and your company. So I help raise the skill level and standardize it so that there's some minimum requirements and their consistencies. And those consistencies then actually, in a corporate sales organization, those consistencies then become synergistic. It becomes greater than the sum of all those individual parts because of the things that you can do with the marketing department and content to amplify the inbound marketing piece of it. So that's what I do.
I like that. And the other thing that you mentioned about the outbound piece is that it helps us leverage a common connection. So for those of you who hate the word cold, LinkedIn is a great vehicle to kind of warm up that chill and make it not so cold.
Timely for this time of year, right? What a lead.
Exactly. So what's the best way that someone listening to this call who recognizes that they have a bunch of silos out in their company when it comes to LinkedIn and they want to kind of bring it all in and make it more cohesive and actually create a strategy around it? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, of course, guess what? They can go to LinkedIn and they can find me there. Kurt Shaver, KurtShaver. My Twitter handle is the same as well. And they can link off either one of those to my website, which is thesalesfoundry.com.
Okay. And I will also put your link out on show notes for this podcast when it airs, so that people can just click through that way to all your contact information.
Excuse me. I just almost made it to the end. I just had to cough.
You had a coughing fit.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this has been great. A lot of fun. I enjoyed talking to you and hearing how the social aspects fits into your predictive prospecting skills.
It does. And we actually named we call something the first in 10, which would be the outbound prospecting side, which is every day go in, find 10 people who are in your network, already first level connections, and look to see second level wise who are in those accounts you're trying to reach. And like you said, either name drop person from your first level or ask permission to use their name in an email, a connect out to second level. So I've got my folks doing 10 of those in the morning, or again, those dead hours when the phone is just not a good time to use. 10 connections a day times 22 business days a month is 220 more connections that they're requesting. So if you do this on a daily basis, systematically, you will build your network pretty quickly so that all these other things that you're talking about will be leveraged and amplified to the point where some people are going to respond to your cold/warm email for that first conversation. So Kurt, thank you so much for your time. And again, I'll put all of his information inside of these show notes. And LinkedIn is not going away for us people, the B2B side. It's a very important tool, and it's getting smarter and smarter, that to the point where we can't ignore it any longer. We've got to use it to leverage those conversations to get more opportunities through the door. Thanks again, Kurt.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Mary Lou.